Welcome back to the Blood Red Pencil podcast. I'm your host, Elle Carter Neal. We're wrapping up our theme of I Can Use This. That spark of excitement you get when your brain processes something you see or hear about, a conversation, even a thread from another book or movie, and connects it to one or more of the themes or story subplots you've been mulling over, and bam, inspiration strikes. Everywhere we look, there is inspiration of one sort or another. Sometimes it's so much that we actively have to tell our minds to hold off on generating new ideas until we've had a chance to complete the dozens already waiting in line. We've written a great deal about ideas and inspiration over the years here at the Blood Red Pencil. Chanel Bacon shared a list of inspiration sources for when you need to generate a new idea or two. This includes writing what you know. We know more than we think we do. Write down the skills you have. Write down the characteristics that would describe you. Write down the jobs you've had, the experiences you've had, the failures and successes you've had. It's a long list, isn't it? Why not write a story about a person with the same experiences, but perhaps with a different ending, or try to figure out why and how a certain personality trait has led to this particular situation? Write about your fears. We all have fears. We all worry about things. Why not conquer your fears, at least in your writing? Create a character that encompasses one or more of your fears and allow him or her to overcome those. Writing is extremely cathartic, and Sean believes that part of your own fears will decrease once you finish your character's story. Write about what you don't know, but want to know. Is there something you always wanted to learn about? Take the time now. Sean learnt about police investigation procedure and detective work in order to write her crime series. She immersed herself in the details of investigative work so that it would sound like she knew what she was talking about. Write about news-related events. The news is a great source of information for potential story ideas. Yes, some of the reports are about horrible real-life events. But somewhere inside, you might be thinking, why? Why did this happen? What could have been going on in a person's life for things to end so tragically? Answer your questions through storytelling. Besides, Sean says, we can't let the Law and Order franchise keep the ripped from the headlines strategy all to itself now, can we? Follow your heart to great writing. Everything we writers encounter in the world becomes a potential source for a story idea. It's something you feel in your gut and in your heart. In March 2004, Sean was suffering from a bout of writer's block and had a story due for a workshop in 2 days. On the bus home from school, Sean noticed a playground. There was a colourful swing set there, and one particular swing was moving, though there was no one near it. Instantly, Sean felt a pang in her heart, then her stomach. She became sad. The first thought that ran through her mind was, what if she had a swing set but no child to push in the swing? The following morning, she noticed how her bus took the same route every 45 minutes. The town she lived in was small. It only had 4 bus routes. The bus she rode to school drove the circle around the school and back from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. She thought to herself, what if she had to drive this route every day and be reminded of landmarks that represented happy times in her life when she had a family? Her mind was abuzz. The whole day she couldn't function as a teacher or a student. She knew why she had the feelings the day before. She knew that she would write a story about a bus driver whose family died and her job required her to drive a route that held memories of them when they were alive. And the swing set in her yard was overgrown by grass and weeds because she just couldn't go near it anymore. Sean ended up cancelling a class and rushing home, and within a few hours she had completed her short story, Empty Swings. She had one of her best workshops, the last workshop before she graduated, and she had a story that she knew only she could write because it affected her emotionally, mentally, physically, and in some respects, spiritually. In fact, that story never really left her. Comments from our readers. Steph S.K. Waller wrote, I especially relate to following your heart because that's how I get ideas as well. A writer has an eye, similar to that of a photographer. The difference is that our lens is our mind and our camera is our heart. Sean agrees. Most of my stories start with an image, either real or of the mind, and then I spend a lot of time mentally writing that image until a story is developed from it. Marianne Miller. I had never thought about writing from my fears. We'll have to think about it. Loved reading How the Empty Swing came to be. It is so special when seeing something leads to a story. Sean responds, Marianne, there is this one story I want to write that came from the writing from your fears. It contains those things that when we hear about them, we wince and pray they never happen to us or our loved ones. Trying to get brave enough to get back into that one. Arlie Bird. Back in the early 1970s, I started clipping various news articles that I thought would make interesting story ideas. I make up file folders according to types of stories, like disasters, floods, disasters, earthquakes, crimes, murder, people, interesting, people, missing, and so on. I don't clip articles like I used to, but I still have a file with a wealth of story ideas. Lee. Sean responds, Arlie, I used to do that too with news articles, and I keep post-its all over the place so that if I hear something on the news or in passing, I can take note of it for later. Patricia Stolte. Those are great prompts to trigger ideas. I especially like write what you don't know but want to know. I've also managed to pull a couple of stories or characters from dreams I've had. Sean responds, Patricia, I realized that I didn't know much of anything, so if I wanted to grow as a writer, I needed to tap into all that great stuff I didn't know about. Laughing out loud. Heidi Thomas. One of the things I love about writing is that you keep on learning. That's the fun part, aside from being published. Sheila Deeth. I can certainly relate to your story. I think my ideas often start the same way, with something I see and a thought that comes seemingly from nowhere. J.L. Campbell. I look at writing about what I don't know as part of my growth as a writer. I can spend ages doing copious research when I'm trying to avoid writing, but yes, I do come out having learnt a lot more by taking time to familiarize myself with something before I get to writing. My story ideas come at the oddest times, but usually when I'm traveling to and from work. In Where Do You Get Ideas, Terry O'Dell says that sometimes the ideas for books come when you're looking for something else. With one book, Terry was just looking for a setting for what her daughter calls her MacGyver opening gambits, but ran across an article about how American engineers were being kidnapped to build cell phone networks so drug cartels could communicate privately, and wham, the story took a whole new direction. For her small town mystery series, Terry came up against the problem of not having enough citizens to realistically kill off in each book. She'd already done the cold case and the out-of-town case, so needed something different for the next book. When Terry's daughter became an extra on a TV show, Terry had her solution. A movie company comes to town, bringing in an entirely new cast of characters and a victim. Our reader comments. Diana Hurwitz. You have touched on a key problem with cozy mysteries. When you keep the cauldron small, who do you kill off? Excellent way to accomplish that is to bring in outsiders. As to ideas, they are everywhere. In articles I read, television shows, songs, news stories, myths, and folklore. The hard part is putting the story seed through its paces and seeing if there is enough potential to germinate an entire novel. Terry responds, so true. Making sure the idea is enough for a complete story is the challenge, but you have to start with that kernel. Polly Iyer responds to Diana, I think every book should have two plots, at least. Linda Lane, I find lots of ideas in the news. Other sources include people watching, reading a wide variety of materials, family and friend interactions, job experiences, songs, and of course the infamous what-if question. Terry responds, people watching and listening is fun. At book club last week, one of the women was going through her calendar. Let's see. Tomorrow I take the cows to be butchered. I'd love to work that into a story someday. Polly Iyer again. I get mine mostly from the news and politics. When the former NY governor was caught paying a high-priced call girl, I wondered what kind of life she had. Voila, hooked. When DNA proved innocent men were incarcerated for crimes they didn't commit, murder deja vu. Backlash came straight from a compilation of men getting off heinous crimes because of poor judges. My new one uses a real crime, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum heist, as part of the plot. Now in the fourth book in the Diana Rancine series, I'm using some political fodder, which should alienate quite a few people. But that's the kind of story I like to write. Really, ideas are everywhere if you want to use reality mixed with some imagination. Terry responds, there's no dearth of ideas, that's for sure. And when you're looking at places that cover the kind of news you're interested in, stories fall from the sky. Marianne Miller, I love it when ideas pop out of research and now we know where we're going with a story. Much of the plot of my third season's mystery, Desperate Season, is based on research I did about the drug cheese and how it is distributed to very young kids. Where story ideas come from? Patricia Stolte. One of the questions most frequently asked of writers is, where do you get your ideas? It's not a popular question among published authors. Maybe they consider the question too silly to answer, or maybe they don't want to share. Pat doesn't think the question is silly, but she can't always explain where her inspiration originated. The process works in so many different ways. Here's one example. Pat belongs to a local face-to-face critique group that meets every other week. One of the things they do is exchange thoughts on writing in general. At one point, their conversation went like this, with lots of paraphrasing. M. Did you know Willa Cather is going to be here? I thought she was dead. Pat. Blank look. M. My Antonia is one of my favourite novels. B. Willa Cather, she's dead. Everyone laughs. Pat. I'll bet it's one of the historical presentations where someone acts the part of Cather. She checked the next day, and that's exactly what the event was going to be. The discussion focused on My Antonia for a few minutes and then wandered onto other books until someone mentioned Lord of the Flies. Pat, Lord of the Flies is one of my favourites. I thought the movie was excellent as well. I always wondered why no writer has taken the idea and substituted girls for the boys. B looked at Pat, and Pat could almost see the little wheels turning in his head. Pat, I think it would need a horror writer to do it justice. B, definitely a horror writer. That might have seemed an amazing coincidence, but B writes horror. The idea was taking hold. They spent the next few minutes discussing how young the girls should be to make the story work. There was another idea embedded in that critique group discussion. What would happen if the real Willa Cather's ghost showed up during the actress Willa Cather's performance? In fact, Elspeth Futcher was involved with a play with very much that concept. She said, "One of the most interesting plays I was ever involved with is Blood Relations by Sharon Pollock, which has the ghost of Lizzie Borden interacting with the actress portraying Lizzie Borden in a play." There are many other examples of writers changing up a well-known story with a unique twist. Colorado author Paula Reed teaches high school English, and one of her favorite novels is The Scarlet Letter. Her book, released in February 2010, is called Hester: The Missing Years of the Scarlet Letter. It's a fine story, especially since she abandoned Hawthorne's unknown omniscient narrator. Reader comments. Marion Allen. Patricia, you're so right. As I say, probably all too frequently for my family, everything is about writing. Those ideas are everywhere, just waiting to jump on our heads like anti-zombies and enrich our brains. Now there's a plot germ for your horror writer friend. Natasha, if anyone wants story ideas, I can lend them my kids. Just listening to them talk will give any writer dozens of ideas. Unfortunately, as their mother, I can only either manage them or write. As you say, Patricia, story ideas are everywhere. You have to pick the one that suits you best. And best. This reminds me, when I was trying to write screenplays, I read, take an old, serious movie plot and turn it into a comedy, and vice versa. You can put a twist on any story that's out there. There are story ideas everywhere. Mary at Giggles and Guns. Writers hear things differently. Everyday comments take them to fantasy, murder, and other worlds. It's so much fun when that happens. Patricia Stolte. Brainstorming ideas is so much fun. I've picked up a few more just from your comments so far this morning. After reading Anne's words, I immediately thought, Key Largo as a comedy? Donna Volkenant. Fascinating topic, post and comments. Funny you should mention Lord of the Flies. I've been rereading it with my granddaughter, who is reading it in her English lit class. I had forgotten how frightening parts of it were. At my critique group yesterday, one writer mentioned she keeps a dream journal, and another writes down random thoughts and images on sticky notes. Hart Johnson. Writers' minds are strange things, aren't they? I think what we are great at isn't coming up with ideas so much as mixing up really odd collections of ideas. We are puzzle masters. Marianne Miller. Now I know one other reason I miss my critique group. We used to have similar experiences, and it was always fun to help brainstorm an idea once it started taking hold. Patricia Stolte. I love all the interesting comments today. A dream journal is a great idea. The manuscript I just finished started with a dream, progressed to a first-person short story, and is now a multiple POV novel. Helen Ginger. Ideas really are everywhere, in your head, coming from the comments of others, in the characters you see in other people, on TV, in music, fellow passengers on the train, everywhere. You have to be open to the ideas and have a good imagination. Rachel. I think the reason why it's not a popular question among published authors is because they already know that it's almost impossible to answer. Because ideas are everywhere. Most of mine come when I'm either trying to sleep, when I'm in the shower, or in the car. They fall out of the sky. Charmaine Clancy. Ideas bombard us, but it's interesting to see that whether they are of value depends on the person who uses them. I often brainstorm character lists and then actions and then randomly tie them together as an exercise in the classroom. Once I ended up with time-traveling dog and thought it useless. What could a dog even do if it did time travel? But a sci-fi friend of mine had a use for him and promptly adopted that dog. In another episode, we'll go through what happens and what to do when a writer has too many ideas. Thanks for listening. I'm Elle Carter-Neal, and this is the Blood Red Pencil Podcast.